Hello, I hope you're having a lovely day. I am sharing on a topic that I have not done a video specifically on my channel. Scott and I have done several videos on submission on our channel. If you didn't know about it, it's called Scott and Kelly. I will link it below if you would like to go and look at those. I like the videos that I do with Scott because it gives the male perspective, and also that is his story is geared towards men, whereas my channel is specifically for women only. That's why I started this channel, was because I felt weird posting videos for women on the Scott and Kelly channel. I like listening to testimonies. That is what is encouraging for me, and that is, to me, what I can share with you is just our own journey and my own story with learning submission. It is an ever ongoing, growing journey, and so I'm just sharing what I feel the Lord has taught us up until now. I think I'm going to do a little series on the role of a biblical wife and just focus on specific topics and things that I've learned about them on the way. Scott and I have been married, it will be 8 years in November, and I know that that's not super long, so I'm not pretending like, oh, we've been married so many years, let me share my wisdom. But I'm just going to share my story and my testimony, and maybe that will be encouraging for you. There's a lot of caveats that come up. There's lots of comments. I mean, our most popular video on our channel that we do together is on submission, and there are so many comments in that. Unfortunately, I think that a lot of comments come from non-Christians. So a lot of what I'm saying applies to a marriage where the husband and wife are both aspiring to live after the Lord, to follow God's ways. And with that being said, the Bible does talk about women who are married to husbands who are unbelievers in 1 Peter 3. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. So that is an encouragement for all of us, but for specifically if you feel your husband is not obeying the word, that this is a clear word from Scripture, from the Holy Spirit, giving you instruction that your husbands may be won without a word when they see your respectful and pure conduct. That's so encouraging. And again, I'm not talking about abusive situations in this video. If you grew up in the church, you grew up with the concept of submission. You know, wives submit to your husbands, and that's just obvious. But then to practically walk that out is a different story, especially if you were like me and you moved out of your parents' home when you were 18, you went to college, and then you lived on your own for several years before you met your husband. Part of that process of living on your own, for me, it really hardened me in ways that I didn't know that it did. But doing life as a woman on your own, especially when you want to get married, you have to fight for yourself. You have to provide for yourself, protect yourself, promote yourself. You really have to enter the masculine role. And I think in that process, it can really harden you into thinking that you're in control and you like being in control. And then all of a sudden you get married and there's two of you. And now you're making decisions together. And especially if you married someone who is not from the same context as you are. So I think there's one thing about if you were born and raised in the same town that your husband lived in, culturally, you are going to have a lot in common with your husband just because of the context of where you were raised. There's obviously differences in parenting and all of that stuff that will affect how you are as an adult. But if you are like me, Scott and I come from totally different, I mean, cultures. He's from South Africa, I'm from America. So we are Christians and we believe in God's word, but there are still so many differences in lifestyle that now you have to learn when you get married, that we make different decisions, we do things differently. And in a lot of ways, it's a lot of fun when you first get married because simple things. Like the very first thing we noticed when we moved in together was our toothpaste bottles were totally different. Scott nicely squeezes his up and mine was like crumpled, and he could not believe how awful my toothpaste bottle looked. And I had never even thought about what my toothpaste bottle looked like at all. I just thought everyone squeezed their toothpaste like that. And it's funny now because that is ever since then I've learned the art of nicely squeezing the toothpaste up so we do not have a scrunched up toothpaste bottle. That has nothing to do with submission, but that just has to do with learning that you're different. You are marrying someone who is different from you. So then, wives, submit to your husband. I'm actually just going to read the scripture. There are a few scriptures on this, but I'm going to read from Ephesians 5. So starting at verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Also, I feel like a lot of people like to leave that out, but the part where it says, in everything, wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And now all of a sudden you get married, and practically, what does that look like to submit to your husband? And I remember so clearly listening to Elizabeth Elliott's podcast as we were stuck in South Africa during 2020, and I was running up and down our road. And she said, you don't submit when you agree. You submit when you disagree. And it was like this light bulb went off. And for the first time, I had full understanding that submission isn't when you agree. Submission is when you disagree. And how often when we disagreed, I would push back until I thought that I got my way. Or even worse, I would use manipulative tactics of being passive aggressive or being emotionally manipulative, of being sad or feeling sorry until he changes to my opinion. And that is sinful. That is being contentious. Proverbs talks a ton about being a contentious or a quarrelsome wife, that it is better for a man to live in a desert. It is better for a man to live in the corner of the house than to be around a contentious woman. I felt super convicted about this, of I feel that I am being contentious, and I realized that it really did stem from my single years having to make so many decisions for myself and not realizing that when I chose to marry Scott, I am choosing to respect my husband all the days of my life. And part of respecting him is believing that he also hears from God and that I can trust his decisions. And even more than that, I can trust in the Lord. Because God's word says for wives to submit to their husbands because he is our head, then I can trust that this is good. This is good for me to submit to my husband. It is good for me to respect my husband. It is good for me to trust in my husband. And therefore, it is good for our marriage. There is peace in our marriage when there is respect. And that doesn't mean that Scott is this dictator who just rules, makes decisions, he's in control. Like, there's this straw man that a godly husband is like using his authority to make his wife miserable. And I don't know any man who wants his wife to be miserable. We are surrounded by Christian couples' families, and it's very obvious that husbands want their wives to enjoy their life. And when we have a disagreement about something and we talk about it, and sometimes Scott does change his mind just from us talking about things, because I will offer a different perspective that he hasn't yet thought about, and he's like, okay, yeah, that makes sense, I understand. That's the whole husbands, live with your wife with understanding. He'll make a different decision because we've talked about it. But if we're at a standstill and I'm like, I don't know about that, and he's like, this is what I think God is calling us to do, this is what I feel that we're supposed to do, then it's up to me to yield to my husband, to submit to him and trust that the Lord will vindicate me and him for me trusting in him, and that God will make all things work together for our good. It is trusting in the Lord. It is having faith in the word of God, that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And it is better to follow God's ways than to follow my sinful desires, which is to be in control, to think highly of myself, that I make all of the best decisions. And with that, it's hard to practice that. It's actually hard to, because you're dying to yourself and you're putting your trust in the Lord. But there is a peace that comes with it of, God, I trust you. I know that you see me and you love me. You see me in secret and you will reward me openly. And I know that you love my husband too. And I thank you, Father, that you are working all things together for our good. And this comes back to being a prayerful wife, to pray for our husbands, that as they are making decisions, that God would give them wisdom. It says in Proverbs 31, that the heart of her husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of gain. And I've been playing that over and over in my mind as I'm working around the house. I'm meditating on that scripture, that the heart of my husband trusts in me and he will have no lack of gain. And the confidence that that brings you to believe that the heart of my husband trusts me, that Scott trusts me, and he will have no lack of gain because he trusts me. And so I want to be a trustworthy wife. I want to be a wife who respects my husband, who respects his decisions cheerfully, not like, okay, fine, you do what you want to do. It's actually being cheerful in submission, cheerful in yieldedness to your husband. Like, okay, I don't know about this, but I trust you. I love you. Again, it's easy to talk about in a video when you're actually in that place of, I don't know if we agree on this. I feel like we're on different pages. The first thing to do, get into the Word. Get into the Bible. Read the Bible. It is so uncomfortable in those situations to get into the Bible that everything in you will resist going to it. This is why it's important to read the Word and read these type of things when you're not in a situation, so that way when you are in a situation, God's word comes to your mind and it's a reminder, it's a guidance for you. There have been times where we have been in a disagreement and I can feel in my mind in that moment, I have two choices. I can choose to get angry and be in sin and give way to sin and give way to fear. Oftentimes, giving way to fear gives way to sin. It's that verse in 1 Peter 3. Peter says, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of your hair, that's ironic, I have braided hair in this video, the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. There's another scripture that says, and you do not give way to fear. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And that's equally important. I'm just not speaking to men, so I'm not going to touch on that. But I will say that the two tie together. When we talk about things, when we're talking about life decisions, I know that Scott is listening to me with understanding. And I also know at the end of the day, he is the one making the final decision. And that actually brings a lot of peace to my mind. And also, it gives a lot of weight to Scott making those decisions. He doesn't take it lightly. There is actually more pressure on my husband because he knows that I am yielding to him. Like, I'm trusting in you. And so he knows the weight of his decisions and he feels the impact of those decisions. And all of this comes back to the picture of the bride and Christ and wife with husband, that our marriage is symbolic to our relationship with the Lord. Me submitting to my husband is a direct reflection of my ability and my willingness to yield myself to the Lord. And I think this is why it's so important when you're single. One, respecting your father, because how you respect your father, that is what you will bring into respecting your husband. It's also important to respect and learn to yield to the Lord. When God is calling you to do something, when you feel Jesus has put on your heart to do something, to be obedient, because that is direct practice of being obedient to your husband. And even after you get married, we still, in our daily life, we are yielding ourselves to the Lord. We are yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit, trusting in Him, directing our steps, even throughout the day. I pray consistently, God, I thank you that today I'm going to be at the right place at the right time with the right people. And I thank you that you will give me the courage to be a light wherever I am. And then when opportunities come up, then to be obedient in those moments. And that takes practice. It takes time. Sometimes God will have us do things that are way out of our comfort zone. And those are opportunities for us to practice being completely dependent upon the Lord. And that ties right in with being yielded to our husbands, is being completely dependent on the Lord. God, you made the institution of marriage. This was your idea. Me marrying my husband was a covenant. It is a covenant to my husband and a covenant to you. And so I want to do marriage well. So will you help me? Will you show me how to yield myself to my husband, how to submit to my husband in daily life, how to respect my husband? And when we pray these things, then when the opportunity comes up to practice it, to actually do the thing. James 4 verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And I think this comes back to, do you believe that God is good? Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that God is working all things together for the good in your life? If you believe that, then you will joyfully submit and yield to him and trust in him. And I think that comes back to your belief in your husband. If you trust in your husband, if you know that your husband wants the best for you and your family, then you will joyfully submit to your husband. And that's my encouragement with young single girls. I actually had a friend who she was trying to figure out if she should marry this guy. And he was not the type of Christian guy that would be on the stage at a church. He was very focused on his job, great character, wanted to do things well, but he was the quiet one. He wasn't going to go out and pray for people. And in the context that she was in, that is what was put on the pedestal, is guys who would get up and pray for people. And so she was like, should I marry him? Because he's not doing any of that stuff that I see other guys doing. And Scott and I were both like, he's a man of godly character. And it came to my mind to ask her, do you see yourself submitting to him? Do you respect him? And her response was that she did. And I think that is something to pay attention when you're deciding who to get married to. Do you trust in them? Do you trust that they want the best for you? That they want the best for your family? That they want to live lives obedient to Jesus? So that's a little side note for if you're single and watching this video, or if you have daughters and watching this video, is to pay attention to a man's character. Those are the things that you want to pay attention to when you are deciding who to marry. So I hope that's helpful for the single ladies. And I can say from my own experience, experience. There is so much more peace when there is yieldedness, because then we enter our feminine role and our masculine role. This is the problem with a lot of androgynous churches, where there's no difference between men and women. Women can do anything a man can do, and vice versa, and it's all just the same. We're all the same in Christ. But that's not true. God made Adam and he made Eve. We are equally important, but our roles are uniquely different. And those roles are very clear in the Bible of how we are uniquely different. We've been in churches where they will share things that the context of submission is that both the husband and the wife are to submit to the Lord. But in practice, when you have two people who get married, those two people are going to have different preferences. They could have two totally different beliefs in what they think God is telling them to do. So in that situation, that line that gets thrown out of, well, that submission means that both the husband and wife are submitting to the Lord. But what about when there's a disagreement? Someone has to make the final say. Someone has to make the final choice. And the Bible is very clear on who that is. It is our husband. It is the head. Again, it's a reflection of the bride being the wife and Christ being the husband. And that picture is just so helpful. And it's also an encouragement for practicing yieldedness to the Holy Spirit. So not only are we submitting to our husband, but in everyday life, we're submitting to the Lord, and we want to live lives obedient to him. I probably rambled in all different types of ways, but I hope my rambling in some way helped you. I will link our other videos below. Our most popular video on that channel is about submission, and looking back, we both agree we could have said that a lot of things in that video in a more eloquent way, and we would probably word things a little bit differently if we were to do it now, but we felt when we made that video that God was putting it on our heart to share about it. And I remember posting that and feeling so nervous, because I knew that this topic is so countercultural, and it actually gets people enraged talking about this. Like it makes them upset. And you can see that from the comment section. But I will link those below if you want to listen to those. I do hope that this video was helpful and a blessing to you, and I will continue sharing other videos around this topic of the roles of a biblical wife. And thank you so much for taking the time to watch this video, and my prayer is that it was a blessing and an encouragement to you. So I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. If you liked today's episode, please consider leaving a rating and review. It is very helpful, and I hope that you enjoy your day. God bless you.